Well, a man was driving home in his brand new car. He was thrilled. And it was absorbing all his attention. He was totally preoccupied by all these gadgets, this amazing technology in this new car. But you know, as he drove, in the back of his mind, there was this niggling feeling that perhaps he'd forgotten something that he should have done or whatever. He even stopped once to get out and check his pockets in case there was anything missing. But it was all there, everything seemed right. And he thought it must just be that these keys were different to the other ones, and he was so used to that bunch of keys in his car. But of course he'd handed them in. When he reached home, his teenage son was standing there at the bottom of the drive to see this fabulous new car. His dad pulled up, jumped out, and the son said, "Dad, where's Mum?" Oh dear, what sort of a mistake was that? Might it have been a little bit like that for those 9 lepers who were healed? So amazing was their transformation that they forgot what perhaps was the most important thing, to give thanks for what had happened to them. Wouldn't we want to do that if we were an outcast and suddenly we were transformed? They forgot the most amazing thing that had happened to them, that in spite of that, that they should, of course, or alongside that, come and say thank you. And it's very hard for us to imagine, I was going to say, but actually it's not very hard, it's impossible for us to imagine what it was like to live with leprosy in those days. They'd met with Jesus in some sort of undefined place, we say, along the border between Samaria and Galilee. The pagan Samaria and the good old Galilee. Somewhere there, it might not even have been on anyone's map. A place where lepers lived and others didn't go. They were separate from the rest. Unclean, the unclean kept away from the clean. And as Jesus entered, we read, or we had read, 10 lepers approached him. And no doubt keeping their distance, they stood at a distance, we heard, they shouted, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, I don't know if you've ever met anyone that you would consider to be unclean. But you know, when I was working for Age Concern, I cleaned the homes of some people where it was so unpleasant, so dirty, that when I walked through the door, I wanted to gag. That was not easy. After an hour or two, you actually got used to it. You could imagine how the people lived in it. But it wasn't pleasant. But you know, that would be like bliss compared to the life that these lepers led. And of course, we don't call it leprosy anymore. We call it Hansen's disease, after the Norwegian Gerhard Hansen, who discovered the bacteria. That's what it is that causes leprosy, Mycobacterium leprae, back in 1874. And since then, things have changed enormously. They've improved for sufferers very much indeed after a vaccine for leprosy was found in 1940. This background is just to help us put some of this into context. And now leprosy is so easily treated that in 1991, the World Health Organization set a target to eliminate leprosy by the year 2000. And globally, that target was reached on time. Just put it in this context. Since, let me just look at the figures, over the last 20 years, 16 million people have been treated for leprosy, and now it's estimated there's only 176,000 people with leprosy worldwide. That's just such a fraction of what it was, and it's considered to be eradicated as a world disease, although, of course, the Leprosy Mission is still dealing with those that remain. And that's through this drug treatment, multi-drug therapy, a combination of two or three different drugs, depending quite on what type of leprosy you have. And amongst other things, leprosy deadens the skin, the nerve endings, which results in terrible disfigurements. Try to imagine that if you had a stone in your shoe, you wouldn't know it was there until it had worn a hole right through your foot before you came aware of it. That if you picked something up extremely hot, you would have major burns before you knew. That's what it was like. And these people were left to fend for themselves. Their diet was bad, and one of the things that helps leprosy is to have a good diet, but they were just left to fend for themselves. And the Hebrew community here, didn't it, as we heard in Leviticus, seemed to have a particularly brutal way of dealing with lepers, especially as Hansen's disease, contrary to popular opinion, probably contrary to what most of you here think, leprosy is one of the least of all contagious diseases. The reading we had from Leviticus spelt out what happened to them. Imagine the dread of having to go to the priest because perhaps a friend or neighbour had spotted, or had seen some white spots on your skin that you'd been hoping weren't really there, were temporary, or that you'd been trying to cover up with your clothes. What you'd been trying to keep hidden suddenly was exposed, and somebody points and shouts, "Unclean." What a sentence that would be. We cannot, however we try, I don't think, we cannot imagine that. So here we have these 10 men standing at a distance and calling out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us." And Jesus, who on other occasions was willing to go and touch lepers, he just called back, "Go and show yourselves to the priest. Let him examine you." He doesn't even tell them that they'll be cured. He just says, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And there's a lesson, isn't there, for us in obedience. They do what they're told. They're not yet cured, but they go. How what we are willing to do, what we're prepared to do, the lengths to which we would go, how different they can be to what we'd normally be doing when we're rock bottom, when we're right down at the bottom. We'll try whatever is put to us, isn't we, because we're so desperate. And I know that from my own experience, as some of you know, and I'm sure many people here today know that. When we reach rock bottom, there's one person to turn to, and that's the Lord Jesus. We today have to step out in faith. We have to put aside our inhibitions, the things we don't want other people to know sometimes, to be able to move forward in life. And so they went. And we aren't told quite when the healing took place. We can only picture perhaps the scene as they march through this little town or village towards the synagogue, going to see the priests, unwelcome outcasts in the regular community. The looks, the shouts, the taunts maybe. "What are you doing here?" But they had to ignore that and do what Jesus said. We don't know, as I say, when they were healed, but perhaps as one of them walked, he found he had to slow down because suddenly that stone in his shoe was starting to hurt. He could feel it gradually, perhaps, I don't know, but maybe at some point the healing started to, or the feeling came back in that foot. Perhaps the others started to get some sense coming back in their limbs. They had feeling returning. And in the New Testament, we see that encounters with Jesus were always, or always resulted in some sort of turnaround. They were amazing, outstanding, life-changing events. We heard about some of them in that first hymn, didn't we? The prisoners were freed when they met Jesus. The dumb speak. The blind see. The evil spirits are cast out. Those last two, I've seen both those happen on occasions. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The outcasts can rejoin society. Encounters with Jesus are astounding. The stories we could tell between us who are here this morning. Can you believe, many years ago when I lived in Chester, before becoming a Christian, when we moved to Stone, I was the person that used to cross over the road to the other side to avoid talking to people I knew. What sort of a reversal is that? Now I cross over the road to talk to the people I don't know. Jesus is astounding. No matter at what point they were healed, one thing we do know is that Jesus wasn't there when it happened. He'd sent them on their way, hadn't he? So they couldn't just turn around and fall at his feet and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us. So we might ask, did Jesus really expect them all to go and find him, wherever he was by then, to say thank you? Did he expect that? Well, yes, he did, it appears. He says, Jesus asked, "Weren't all 10 cleansed? So where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" So Jesus did expect them to make the effort to go and find him, to ask where he was so they could. Now, there could be all sorts of reasons, couldn't there, why they didn't do this. I'll just give you one or two that spring to mind. You know how we can doubt. Maybe they thought, is this real? Is this going to last? Perhaps it might just be a sudden change which goes back again. We can doubt, can't we, like that? Perhaps they thought, and understandably, let's go and see our family, our friends, and celebrate. And of course, we'll go and see Jesus later, but of course, as time goes on, you forget to do that. Perhaps one said, "Oh, I was getting better anyway." People do occasionally make some progress. Perhaps they thought, perhaps it happens when they arrived at the priests, and they thought it was the priests that had done it. There's all sorts of possibilities why they didn't. Maybe some were so struck with how amazing it was, like that man with his fancy new car, that they forgot all about what was important. I don't expect that chap's wife thought too much of that new car for a while, did she? She'd have rather had the old one, where at least she did get a bit of a look in. Maybe perhaps they just got on with life, moved forward, never found time to look back. They said, "We've lost all these years. We need to move forward and get on with life." Excuse me. And that's a mistake. As the example of the one man who did remember to return makes clear. And of course, typically, in a story that Jesus tells, a true story, of course, not a parable, in today's terms, it's not the Christian guy who goes back. It's the Muslim or his ancient Near Eastern equivalent that came back. And just as the lepers displayed themselves to the priest, now Muhammad, perhaps the ex-leper, the healed leper, is displayed to us as the model of how believers should, but so often don't behave. Get up and get on with life. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well, Jesus says. So how do we take and respond to this story? What does it say to you and to me today? Well, a couple of things it says to me. It says, Jesus heals. It says, sometimes someone from a different religion to us shows us how to behave. Isn't that humbling? Isn't that a challenge? It says, we so often forget to remember. Because I suspect about 90% of the time, slight hint there, 9 out of 10, 90% of the time, we forget how fortunate we are. We take for granted all the good things that God gives us and we don't say thanks. We can take for granted our health, our family, our food, our home, our church, our community. So many things, the list could go on and on. And I also suspect that perhaps, not for everybody I know, 9 out of 10 mornings, we can wake up and start the day thinking about all the things we need to do or all the things we want to do without giving God a thought. We want to get on with life. God-given life. But let us, most of all, remember not the gift of life, but the giver of life. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you will help us to respond to what you do day by day for each one of us, to enable us to get on with abundant life, life which has started now but goes on for eternity as we follow the Lord Jesus in your presence. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.